Hello, everybody. It's been so long, it feels like, since the last time I got on here to record a podcast. Sorry about the, little break I took. I just needed a couple weeks to just, take a break from it and just needed some time to myself. Just, still going through a lot of things. And also last week I was on vacation, so I just obviously did not have time to record a podcast, but I am so glad that I'm able to record one now. And I just feel like I have so much to talk about and things just to go over and things I just want to talk about and get off my chest. And yeah, I'm just, already laying in bed for the night. It's currently 7:30, but I've been so tired here recently. Extremely fatigued, and I know that a lot of that has to deal with the traveling and also just with my chronic illnesses. Fatigue is just a really I don't even know if it's really a side effect of it. It's just something that goes along with what I have to deal with and with my illnesses and stuff. So it's been a little bit of a struggle lately, feeling just extremely fatigued and tired, but that is okay. We are going to get through it. I'm really excited to be able to just talk about some of the things that I want to talk about today. First things first, I actually went to Boston last week and it was so much fun. I went to my cousin's, it was like a ceremony / wedding. It was they were renewing their vows. So it was really amazing and so beautiful. And I just love seeing her be so much in love. Like I love it. I love that I could be there to support her. And yeah, I was just super excited. And Boston is beautiful. It's extremely beautiful, but it's extremely cold. I totally understand why people love to live there, but there's no way that I could like live there in the winter. Like if I could just have a house there in the summer and then come back here for the winter, that would be the dream. Boston is a beautiful city and there is so much history there, and we just had so much fun and it was very busy of a vacation. Definitely no like lounging around or anything. So I'll definitely have to take a little beach trip this summer and go away and just do nothing but lay on a beach, because that's the kind of vacation I also need. So yeah, that was so much fun. And then after that, work has just been insane. Work is always crazy at this time of year. I feel like, and I always remember my dad with insurance, just it being like such a busy time, especially after the first part of the year, and now getting into some of the second quarter and all that, it just can be a lot. And I love that I am busy because it keeps me going. And I also love to be busy at work because there's nothing worse than just being sitting there and like having nothing to do and the day just drags. So my days have definitely been flying by, and yeah, it's definitely been fun. It's hard at times, but also I love being able to learn new things, and I love that I've seen myself grow in so many ways since I first started. So yes, super excited. And I actually will be getting my insurance property and casualty license in April. So that'll be fun. Basically, I'll go to class for about a week and I will do it. I think it's from like 8 to 6 every day that week. And then I'll take a big test. So can't wait for that. Super nervous, but excited, but also like dreading it because I know it's going to be really boring. I mean, I just don't miss school for that reason, because it's just hard for me to sit and listen to someone lecture for like 9 hours. But anyways, so I wanted to talk about, I know I've talked about my endometriosis / endo. We're just going to call it endo for us this podcast because it's a long word. But I know I've talked about it before with, the podcast with James, and I've just brought it up here and there. But I really wanted to dedicate this podcast to endo because I don't know if any of you know this, but the month of March is Endometriosis Awareness Month. And it actually is The color that signifies Indo is yellow, which I love that. One of my favorite colors is yellow because to me, yellow brings meaning of peace and, you know, it's the color of the sun. So I relate it back to being happy and just joy. And it's just such a bright color. And I think that it's amazing that that is a color for Indo because I feel like it gives you a sense of hope and that even through all this pain, you're going to get through it in the end and to like stay strong. I know that's weird to get that out of just a color, but that color just is so bright and so vibrant. And everyone, when they see yellow, they think of happy. And I know that Indo can be such a sad and heartbreaking disease that it's awesome to see like a color that can bring so much light and positiveness to it. So yeah, the whole month is all about endometriosis and just about what it is and bringing awareness to people and to women and to just show them like the different signs of it, because I feel like so many women go misundiagnosed every day, and it is just really sad. And I know that I was like that. I had problems most of my life and have always had extremely painful periods and just, you know, a lot of the same symptoms I thought was just all of my stomach stuff. I didn't ever realize it was also not only my stomach, but also stuff going on with where the endometriosis is. So it's just so crazy. And, you know, when I went in for my surgery to find out about having endo, which, by the way, that is the only truly way that you can find out if you have endo. Please don't ever let a doctor tell you that you have it just by only doing an ultrasound or a scan or just anything else. I actually did an ultrasound 2 weeks before I had my surgery, and it actually showed that I didn't have any endo at all. And, you know, he was like, you know, we could do the surgery if you wanted to, but I don't see anything. And I'm like, no, I still want to do it because I just want to make sure. And I am so happy that I did go through with it, because honestly, I would have never known that I had it. And you can't see it through an ultrasound or, you know, anything else like a scan, because it can be so small. And the only way that you can really see it is through surgery and actually being able to go in there and look around. And also, if I didn't have had the surgery, I would have never found out about my blocked fallopian tubes, which, you know, I've talked about in the past, is basically causing me to never be able to have kids naturally. The only way that I will probably be able to have kids one day is through IVF or, you know, surrogacy or adoption. So I definitely just, you know, am grateful that I know that now, and I would have never known that if I had gone through with the surgery for endo. It's really crazy because actually, so I had my surgery for it in December, and I was actually supposed to have it probably like 6 months before that, but I actually canceled it because of my work, and I just knew that I was going to be, you know, out for a week and with nannying and stuff like that. I actually had to take that week off because I wasn't allowed to really be on my feet that often and picking up the children. I mean, I just wasn't allowed to lift anything heavy, and because, you know, I could have gotten a hernia or just done something worse, and it just wasn't going to be worth it. So, but with my other job now, like I was able to take a couple of days off, and I had the whole weekend to, you know, try to get better. And then at work that week, I just, you know, really took care of myself and, you know, laid low and didn't do much. And I didn't work out for like 2 weeks or so or something like that. It was really long, but yeah, it was really hard because I know that for me, I'm just such a busy bee, and I love to be active and to work out. And I also, random, but I couldn't take a bath for like two or three weeks or so. And I am such a bubble bath person. Like, I love to be able to like take a hot bubble bath at night, and that's my way of relaxing. And I couldn't do that for 2 or 3 weeks. And let me tell you, I was in so much pain. Like, my back hurt, my rib cage and my chest felt like they had been broken, and my stomach hurt, and my incisions, like everything just hurt. And all I wanted to do the whole time was take a hot bath, and I just like couldn't. And that was probably like the hardest thing out of the whole thing, was I just couldn't take a bubble bath. You know, it's the little things that make you happy, and that's just what makes me happy. So yes, I always complained to James and my parents about it. So I'm sure they were so excited to know that I could finally take a hot bubble bath when the doctor told me that I could. So it's, you know, just so funny. But yeah, so I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit about my story and just kind of inform people about endo and also to the surgery and what it all, you know, comes with it and stuff like that. So I kind of want to walk through my day of what happened and with the surgery and stuff and how I felt. And so, yeah. So in December, I had scheduled my surgery. I had actually gone into work for half that day. It was on a Thursday, and I went into work, and my surgery was scheduled. I think I had to be there around 1:30. And so I left work around 12:30. My dad drove me. My mom met us there. And that was just, I shouldn't have even gone into work, honestly, because I felt like I just wasn't even really there. I mean, I was just definitely very like scared and worried, and I just didn't know how to feel. And I just wanted to go home and just, you know, not even be working, but I wanted to be able to go and just get my mind off of things before I went. So when we get there, you know, we sign in, I have to fill out all these forms and do all these things. And then about an hour later, they call us back, and I go in and I sit in like this, you know, the bed that I'll be operating in. Well, I guess I wasn't operating on it, but they were just like the bed they could roll me into the operation room. So they basically, you know, have me on that. I get fully into the gown, and I had to wear the surgical hat and the socks and everything. And it was so funny. My parents, like, we just laughed so hard because I looked so funny. But we sat there for like 3 to 4 hours. It was so long. It was only supposed to be like an hour, I think, at max when I got back there. And once I did everything, I was supposed to go back after like 10 minutes when everything was done. And I had my IV in me, like everything. Like, I was ready to go. And they got so backed up at the hospital that my doctor was like, just everything was just backed up. So I think I waited for like 3 hours. It was awful. So my surgery was scheduled at like 1:40 something or 2. I don't think I went back until like 4 something. It was awful. So we finally got back, and you know, I was just scared. I mean, going under and all that stuff can be scary because you don't know what's going to happen. I didn't know. Okay, I could like not wake up. I mean, I don't know. I've only been under anesthesia like once or twice, and it wasn't like real deep anesthesia like this anesthesia I was going under for the surgery. And so I was scared, and I didn't know what to expect. And, you know, they had the IV in me, and before I, you know, start getting wheeled back, they start, you know, pushing in the stuff to make you go to sleep. So I could already start to feel it, and I was like, you know, just very drowsy. And I remember going into the room a little bit, and just there was so many people in there. I think there was like 7 or 8 people, and I was like, why are all these people in here? And then I just like fell asleep. So I don't really remember anything after that. But side note, really interesting and really weird. So basically with the surgery, they make an incision on both your sides and on in your belly button. So they're very small. They're not very big. I have a scar. I don't really have too much of a scar on my belly button, but I do have on my side. And it's not very big, but it's, you know, it's there. You can see it. But I had to, so they did that, and then they basically had me on the table, and they literally put you upside down. And it sounds so weird, but it makes total sense, because when you're upside down, then everything kind of like goes towards like your head area. So that way everything is like not flapped on top of each other, and they'll be able to see everything because it'll be like facing more towards like your face and like that, like your head. So it sounds so funny. And I remember my dad telling me that before I was about to go back. And I'm like, what? You're lying. Like, you're joking. They're not going to do that. And he's like, yeah, they do. And I asked my doctor, and he's like, yeah, like literally hanging by your feet. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what? So they basically do that. And then they pump a bunch of air into you. And that's a way for them to like open everything up. and they can see everything. And so, you know, they found what they found, and, you know, we found out after everything, and I've, you know, talked about that, what they found with the block fallopian tubes and the endometriosis, and they burned off what they could. There were spots on my liver and on my, kind of just around like the uterus area where it normally is found, and over around my ovaries and all that. So it definitely, you know, was there, and it's small. It's not a lot, but I definitely still have it. And regardless of what stage or how much you have, it is still so painful. So it's crazy that these small little things can create so much pain. And it's honestly so frustrating because they're so small and they just can make you be in so much pain. And it's just very frustrating. But after the surgery, I was really out of it that night. But, you know, James was here and he took care of me. My mother took care of me. But I remember that first night trying to go to sleep, and I just woke up so many times in so much pain because I just couldn't lay on my side, and my like collarbone and shoulders and chest area just felt, in my ribs, honestly, felt like they were broke. It felt like someone had broke them, and I just couldn't move. And they were just so sore because of all the air they had pumped in. And he told me that was going to happen, so I was already like expecting it, but I did not know it was going to feel the way that it did. I mean, it was awful. So I was so happy to have that go away after like a week or so. I finally felt a little bit better. But I remember even like walking, like it would be hurt to breathe. And it's just so crazy that it's not really that major of a surgery, but it causes you so much pain. And it takes a good like 4 to 6 weeks, I think, to fully recover from it. So I finally feel obviously better. It's been a couple months now. So, and I have my scar, but it's healing, and you know, it'll probably always be there, but it kind of reminds me that I am so tough and strong, and that if I can get through this endo and I can overcome the battles that I'll face in the future with, you know, having the whole child thing and being able to have my own baby, that, you know, I can get through anything. And so, yes, that is how it went. So I definitely think that more women need to definitely be checked up on more. Your periods and all that stuff, sorry, men who are listening to this, but as a woman, your periods, they can be painful, but they should never be so extreme where you can't do anything. Or for me, like I had to get on a pill or the IUD because without it, I would be in so much pain that it was just like unbearable. And even with the IUD and stuff like that, I still have pain. So it's like, without it, it's just the worst. So I'm like, when I want to have children and all that stuff, it's going to be really hard because, you know, I just know that I have to obviously take that out, and I'm just like scared because I know it's going to be so much more painful. But I know that it's definitely not normal, and I definitely think that more women should be, you know, researching that, or, you know, asking their doctors about it, because it's almost just like not talked about. And I think it's like 1 out of every 4 women have it, or 1 out of 10. Have it. And I know that it's probably could be so much more than that, but because more women don't know that they have it, the number is not as high. So I definitely think that if you feel that you are, you know, questioning it, or just feel like, you know, I don't feel right, and this is just so painful, it shouldn't be this bad, I would definitely just talk to your doctor about it. But I have just created such a, peace with my, you know, with everything that I've been given here in the past couple months. I've had to create a peace because I know that God has everything in control, and that, you know, I definitely want to have a baby one day, and I'm not going to let endometriosis or my block fallopian tube stop me from that. Whether I have a miracle baby through natural or I have a baby through IVF, and I definitely don't want any woman who suffers with endo or any type of infertility problems to ever feel like they are not worthy of anything because they can't have a child. You know, being a mom and all that stuff, that does not make you, you know, the person that you are. You know, I'm not saying that obviously, like, if you're a mom, you're amazing. But if you're not a mom or you can't become a mom, like, you're still amazing. you know, we feel like as women that we have to have children to feel like whole. I think sometimes not every woman feels like that, but most do. And I know that it can be such a burden on us. And I just don't want any woman or girl to ever feel like that. And so I definitely want to just shout it from the rooftops that you are amazing. And that I'm also sorry to any guy who's listening to this who's not a girl. But if you do have a girlfriend or a wife that is going through this, I highly just recommend telling your girlfriend or your wife that she is a freaking badass, and that any girl that has to go through the things that we have to go through, that, you know, you are just amazing. And I am just so grateful for all of you guys. And I'm super grateful for my Indo warriors and my Indo sisters and, you know, everything else that I've met and people that I've met through along this journey. And that's something that I am so grateful for. And I just really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast today. And I can't wait to talk to you guys again soon.